When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's dumbest podcast network.
I said timestamp.
Yes. So you'll do the timestamp. Great. Hey, and welcome to We Have No Strong Feelings About Harry Potter, Season 2, Episode 2. We are watching The Chamber of Secrets. Hit us with that timestamp,
Amy. We watch from 7 minutes 36 seconds to 16 minutes and 20 seconds. And oh boy, did nothing happen.
I don't know. I'll push back on that. There's something that I did enjoy here, or maybe it's just because it evoked a specific memory from me.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that when we get to it.
Yeah. I mean, stuff did happen. This is one of our larger chunks, though.
Yes. But in part, that is because this, again, deals with the Dursleys. Mm. We are so far in a largely magicless place, unless you count the magic that is Vernon and Petunia maintaining a happy marriage all these years.
That seems like what they're doing.
An active bedroom life.
I think the only thing that really brings them happiness is bringing misery to Harry in a lot of ways.
Well, they have that. So it seems like they're fucking killing it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So we open on Vernon installing bars on Harry's window.
Not a great look.
As he watched from the indoors. He's looking out as he's being barred in.
Yeah.
That reminds me of that story of like, there's some story about an old man being bricked into
the cask
room
of Amontillado.
Yeah. I don't know what happens in that story. Does he make it out?
No.
Oh. No, what happens?
He just pricks him in. Sorry, spoilers for the Cask of Amontillado. As an act of revenge, which is for acts that are unspecified in the story, this guy invites him down to his cellar to look at this very expensive old Cask of Amontillado and then bricks him in.
So, why does the guy let him do that? Brick him in.
We are allowed to talk about one work of fiction on the podcast.
Yes.
And it has to be something that we've engaged with and read. And I only know about this from like secondhand. I think I once read the Wikipedia article on it.
But it's just, it's
something which objectively took more time than reading the short story itself.
But it's like, it reeks of like, I don't know, like fucking Austin Powers and the steamroller.
Don't, I'm glitching.
No.
Whatever.
So we get a wonderful line from Vernon. You're never going back to that school. You're never going to see your freaky little friends again.
I love that he's settled on freaky
so
little
good.
Friends.
Just freaky little friends. It's the second time he said it in like 5 minutes.
The roll of the R is great. Yeah. Also, pretty bad optics having Vernon apply prison grade security to the one specific room where his non-blood relative is staying.
Wow.
Oh, congratulations.
That jet plane?
Hey, do they make that in quiet?
Hey, are you going to a loud car club?
Yeah.
Let's high five, babe. That was cool.
Okay, cool. But cool I was using that hand to rearrange my balls seconds before. I'm sorry.
All right.
Speaking of loud cars, Demi, what happens next?
What does happen next?
Harry is asleep and is awoken late at night by the sound of a flying Ford Anglia.
Mm-hmm.
A single car is enough to wake our slumbering prince.
Yeah, which is a cool Cool world to live in, huh?
Yeah.
Full of cars.
Well, it just means he has that wizard blood because the sound of a car is extremely unappealing to him. But he can sleep through sharing a room with the classically active during the night owl. Hedwig, presumably, just doing nothing all day. And then at night, he's just like, whoa!
Wah, wah, wah!
Yeah.
So Ron and his brothers show up.
Yeah.
They rip the bars off the window, which wakes up Vernon with a beautiful grumble, I will say.
Yes.
So many different sounds, none of them a word.
Vernon's acting in this is just off the charts. He's so good. It's a classic. He's playing the role to perfection. Also, the Weasleys are rocking up for a stealth mission in what is objectively the loudest form of flight we have seen thus far.
Yes.
Apart from if they just, I don't know, magic to 747 or something.
Yeah, right. It's, well, yeah.
It's going to look like we flew it into the towers, but in fact we're going to turn it around and end up in... Little Dude. Walking. Oh, yeah, sorry. We'll edit that one out. We'll cut that one.
No. So Vernon, he awakens and scrambles to unlock the padlock that he's put on the inside of Harry's door.
Yeah.
So he's just like, a death trap for the cousin.
Yes. Well, if the place caught fire, they would be fine if he burnt alive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they'd rush in there, save Hedwig. You can always have an owl.
You can always have an owl.
Mm. Yeah, the security is definitely anti-Harry.
Mm.
I appreciate that they're kind of trying to secure him in there, but tragically, because they didn't put him in like that, you know, plastic cage that Magneto lives in, is vulnerable to car attack.
Yeah.
He bursts into the sound of, Petunia, he's escaping! Another great line.
It's so funny to me. I just don't, like, these fucking people hate this kid that lives with them.
Yeah.
So they need him around.
Yep.
They need to keep him there. They hate him and everything that he does, but they will not let him go where he can't bother them.
Well, maybe this is like, because he has to come back at some point, right? So maybe this would be the equivalent of, you know, you have your shitty kid that you hate and that you terrorize every second of the day. And then someone comes along and is like, oh, I have fantastic news. You're a gunsman, Harry. You're going to come with me and learn how to wield a gun for 9 months out of the year. And then you're going to come down back here unsupervised and we're just going to drop you in.
Oh, sorry to take you away from your loving aunt and uncle, but time to go to murder school.
Go hall. Vernon's back there desperately gaining weight so he can stop a bullet.
How much more weight do you think you can put on?
Oh, man, I think it's in... It would be in the single digits.
Yeah. Vernon falls into the shrubs from the first floor as he grasps Harry's legs to stop him from leaving.
Also has a great line, you and that bloody pigeon aren't going anywhere.
Yep.
So good. The front flip, the fall that he does is one of the classic, easy, nice falls. They show him getting up safely so we know he wasn't too hurt.
He looks like, as he falls, he kind of looks like he's made out of plasticine.
Yes. It definitely looks like, and I hope they did, switch actors.
Yeah.
Because, good gracious, if ever there was a man who needed a stunt double.
Oh, yeah.
You can't have him be taking that fall.
Yeah.
He weighs so much.
He weighs so much.
He's just an impressive amount.
And then as they're driving away to triumphant fanfare, Ron turns to Harry and says, by the way, Harry, happy birthday.
Mm.
These Dursleys, what a piece of work. Harry's birthday, and you put bars on... window?
Yeah. Now, Harry, I got you a present, but it has to be installed outside your window. Yes, all the bars you can look at, my boy, and ever so many locks. The cityscape gives way to the Weasley Estate, which is an insane-looking house.
You're not allowed to do that.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the site of Britain becomes the site of Weasley Burrow.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And now it's better because I did it.
That is much better. Thank you so much.
We see the Burrow for the first time. It's a big, wonky, very tall house.
It looks like, I haven't played Fortnite. It looks like it was built in Fortnite.
It does look like it was built in Fortnite.
Just a random collection of, walls, stairs, all that.
We see dishes washing themselves.
What I realized seeing like the Weasley setup is that there's no downside to being out in the country when you can just teleport anywhere.
Yeah.
Like they have no commute.
Mm.
They have the flying car, but that's just kind of a formality for if you, I guess, want
to... They're not supposed to have the flying car.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be magic. They're not allowed to use, like, Arthur, like, he brought the car home and decided to enchant it.
Rules. rules so much. Do you think that it actually, like, the engine runs to make it fly, or has he just magicked a, like, an MP3 to just play?
Loud.
Yeah.
Isn't there, like, a very quiet, very expensive car that does that, that plays engine sounds?
There's a lot of luxury end cars will sweeten their engine sounds, yeah.
Yeah.
So because we associate that with power and it's just a more pleasant feeling as a driver, you will commonly have, like, high-end designer cars that go, like, basically the equivalent of rim, bim, 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 bim.
I was grundle, dundle, dundle, dundle. That's what I would do. I would record myself saying grundle, dundle, dundle and play it through the speakers as the car went.
Maybe it is one of those things where, like, it is the most easy way to mod it, like, a flying car into a Harry Potter game. And I assume Arthur has used that same thing. He's just, like, stuck a broomstick in the exact middle of the car, and then he's also enchanted it so whenever it flies, it goes brim bim 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 bim
bim bim bim bim bim bim bim bim bim bim. Let's make this car as loud as possible.
Absolutely.
So we see dishes washing themselves, the clock, which doesn't tell time, but the whereabouts and safety of the family.
Yeah, I checked on that. It has prison as one of the whereabouts, so it's good to know that they were, you know, accurate about what Fred and George would become.
It also has mortal peril.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is a cool thing to know that your family's in.
Yeah, just be able to look at the clock and watch it flick back and forth between mortal peril and prison, peril and prison, and then their face slowly fades away.
Yeah, this is what I would do. I would, like, just to make sure the clock's still working, I'd, like, get my least favorite son, hold a knife to his throat and watch the clock, and then a lollipop to his throat. Then knife, lollipop, knife, lollipop, just to check. Just to check what it switches back and forwards between.
Now I'm done terrorizing son. Now for a nice hearty suck on the lollipop in my right hand and not the knife. In my
Time to put the lollipop where it belongs, in the lollipop hole. Clack.
Okay, all right, now I've stabbed myself once, but now...
Now first, with my eyes shut, I'm going to put the knife in the knife holster in my leg. That's the sound of a lollipop hitting a leg.
Oh my God. We get to meet the Weasley matriarch. Mrs. Weasley, as she's known.
Oh, my God.
Another great entrance from her. Great mum acting is a note that I have down for this.
Where have you been?
Yes.
It's really gorgeous, like, projection that she's got.
Perfect pitch control.
Perfect outfit for her as well. Like, clearly self-knitted, but, like, she's got, like I mean, you know, wizard sleeves as her sleeves.
Yes.
But, like, crocheted wizard sleeves. It's like, it's so fucking perfect.
I really like the Weasley house is a really well done. It feels warm.
Yeah.
It feels obviously very convenient to live in because you're essentially living in an automated house, except the spells, I assume, aren't, like, selling your data.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting another thing from, like, I don't know, Ollivanders being like, hey, we overheard you mentioning the word basilisk. So now we're going to just show you ads for basilisks until you buy one.
I mean, it's weird because I've always thought it's so odd. I don't understand, like, the wizarding economy because, like, how can you be poor?
Yes.
I just don't understand it.
But you've said that about the regular economy as well, haven't you?
Well, you should just choose to have a job.
But yeah, it is.
If you weren't so dirty and outdoors, then maybe someone would hire you.
Okay, okay.
What?
Nothing. Then we get to meet Jenny or whatever. I don't know.
Miss Weasley flips shit, basically. She's like, no note, bed's empty. She flips shit. She, I really love the dynamic she has here of just like, hey, sons, fuck you, and fuck you. And Harry, let me give you a big smooch on the gobbin face.
Yes. Now, Harry, I think we've got a gorgeous horse that you'll enjoy accepting as a gift. Immediately starts just fucking roundhouse kicking her sons around.
Yeah.
Her garbage fucking redhead sons. You'd be so pissed off.
Presses them into the prepared sword that she's had mounted on the wall.
Oh, my God. I think if you're a redhead and you marry a redhead, you should be investigated by the government.
Yeah, I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. At least, like...
For how you're so hot. Or are you saying for fucking your brother?
I was saying just because, like, there's something going on there. I don't like it.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, the other thing is, like, they're Weasleys, but it's, like, it's not, like, because they always talk about, like, generations of Weasleys. Like, they've all got, like, red hair and shit, right?
Yeah.
So then, like, why?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, so like what the fuck's going on? Are you bulldogs? Are we trying to keep the Weasley line clean?
Yeah, there's these recessive genes that we have that make wizards redheaded but poor. Yeah,
instead of blonde and rich. I don't think it actually relies on your bloodline in the wizarding world. I think it's just your hair. That's like there's only one thing that makes you like...
You're right. There's probably no rich redheads in the Harry Potter universe.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
But the blondes are all rolling in it.
Another redhead. Very poor. Lupin.
Yes. Oh, my God.
What's going on?
What's going on? Good Christ. Well, now we know a bit more about J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
So, good to have it there.
Fucking freak.
Ginny runs downstairs.
Yeah, they start having breakfast. Mrs. Weasley starts breakfast. Ginny also flips shit. Mummy, have you seen my jumper? Yes, dear, it was on the cat. Very cute line.
Very cute line.
What
was the cat doing there?
Yeah.
I guess they'd given it a human torso through the use of a charm.
Oh. Oh, my God. Just like, so cat head and neck and cat waist, ass, tail and legs,
yeah.
But then two human arms and a human chest.
Yes. Just like real dragging on the floor.
Yeah. No, adult size, and it's the only thing it uses to walk around. And the cat legs and head are dangling. Flopping around. Yeah, just dangling.
I was picturing that. Before then, I was picturing just a regular cat, but from the middle of the back, just bolt upright, a human torso with arms, just like, rrr. Kind of like a tank turret, I guess. Or
a
an
tank
AA,
turret?
Yeah.
Why?
Because
would it, be
it would just be
turret?
Like sprouting from the top middle of the cat.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, yes, I see. Okay, I get it. So like the jumper is more of a hat for your hump.
Yeah.
Right, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what you? That
yeah,
was what
and
you
you've got to put a jumper on the cat because otherwise its hump will get cold.
And the hump is where the cat stores most of the heat.
Yes.
We meet Arthur Weasley for the first time. Morning, Weasleys. And the tip of his hat hits the top of the door frame.
So nice.
So delightful.
Yeah, it's a felt hat and he doesn't react to it. It just clips the door frame as he comes through and then bounces right back up.
Yeah, it's real pretty. And he sits down, starts breakfast, and then notices Harry.
Yeah.
And who are you? It's such a delightful, like, just sitting down looking at the family and then, and who are you? Just like, it's so unfazed by anything.
Yeah, I'm back from my night job at working at the government.
Yeah.
Which is strange, right?
Yeah, I'm back from working at the government in, what is he?
Where does he sleep? Because is he in Muggle Studies or is that
Muggle Studies is a subject at Hogwarts, so no, I don't believe so. Okay. But see if I can get it, all right?
Okay.
He is from the Department of the Department of Magical, oh fuck, the Department of and Protect Magical Artifacts Muggle the Department of, ooh. No wait ready.
Uh-oh.
The Department
uh-huh.
of
uh-huh
yep Muggle the Department
the
of,
Misuse of Muggle Artifacts Office at the Ministry of Magic.
Yeah, but I got some.
So
of
yeah,
those
you were just
words.
Gonna get it. You were right on the border of actually getting
get
it completely.
It, I think.
So that's where he's. That's what he's doing. He's like, if any wizard picks up like a USB or a fucking Glock,
or a spring.
He has to be over there. Yeah, they start.
What else
know,
could? Yeah, what else could they pick up? Like a fake mustache,
an eyebo,
Alan's party pack.
Yeah, picks up a Bic lighter, suddenly doesn't need to cast a spell that makes fire or whatever.
Yeah, picks up an H&M headband.
A bag of black tar heroin.
Yeah, maybe.
Some Muggle artifact.
Maybe some novelty beer goggles.
An FHM.
Mm-hmm.
Or looking at all those still ladies.
Yeah, maybe lip moisturizer.
One of those hats with the cans off the side.
Oh, yeah.
And you suck down the cans.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Actually, weirdly, any alcohol.
Yeah. No, they have alcohol, though.
They do have alcohol.
Butterbeer. And just everybody's allowed to drink it, apparently, in the
12-year-olds. How is the butterbeer? I feel like we've talked about this on the podcast before. How is the butterbeer at Universal that you had? Because when we went to Universal, we visited Harry Potter Land.
Yeah. Well, me and Ben Russell both had frozen butterbeers.
Oh,
and they were so sweet, we had about two mouthfuls each and we're like, well, that was great, and then threw it in a bush.
Ah, the classic American experience.
Yeah, it was I mean, Ben was like, and that's crazy because like that was Ben in holiday mode as well.
Yes.
Where he had made it his duty to become a beach ball.
Mm. Every hand at all times and every like crevice in his body used to store a different form of hedonism.
So we hear a screech. It's Errol, the owl, bringing the post. Fuckface gets up to get the post.
Mm-hmm. I will say this. There's a question there where Mr. Weasley asks Harry, so what is the exact function of a rubber duck?
Mm.
And that is kind of how anthropology works. Like, yeah. Left to his own devices, he would doubtless conclude, like, well, it's of religious significance or whatever. Yeah. Like, nobody... There's a whole thing in anthropology where, and archaeology where people fucking, I don't know what the word is, but I'm still going to continue making my point. where people like just, you know, say that something was presumed for religious significance or whatever. And then it's either a toy or it's something that's used in like, especially in like the early 19th century, something that is used in a craft or a, you know, a manufacturing thing that the predominantly male and privileged like fucking archaeologists of the time had no knowledge about. And so someone's like, well, no, you use this to hold yarn. And
like, it's like the exact opposite of like the fallacy of the appeal to ancient wisdom.
Yes.
It's like the literally the exact opposite. It's like, well, what we think is what they did.
Yes.
Like, did you see that whole thing? They were like, oh, we found We found a bunch of Vikings, and even though Vikings were all dudes, these Vikings had like wide hips and were wearing jewelry.
We have this weird thing where we found a bunch of male Vikings with huge tits and stacked caked up down the bottom. Anyway, because they were buried with swords, we can only assume that they were very good at battle because of their huge male tits and asses.
Anyway, they were incredibly well preserved. So we did find that one of the men had decided to wear a pussy.
Yeah.
Just bringing, not saying that men can't have pussies, just saying that like this whole fucking thing of like where they're just like, anyway, these strong ones are dudes, and they're not allowed to be anything else.
Yeah, an archaeologist discovering a warrior's grave and be like, well, the penis must have been buried separately. Picking through, looking for the one long, thin bone that runs down the middle.
Or just like, oh, look, this woman was buried with her husband's sword.
Presumably to spoon it, keep it warm for him until he died. And then I guess he didn't die because dudes rock.
Yeah, dudes do rule, girls drool, and I'm an archaeologist.
My favorite thing from all that shit is just how basically before a certain date, not too long ago, all the findings that were classified as ceremonial batons were absolutely dildos.
Yeah.
Like they are all...
They're all like, dildos.
They're classed as ceremonial batons. They are long penis-shaped objects, some with balls on the end that are made from smooth, pleasant-to-touch material.
Well, we didn't say what kind of ceremony, so...
Yeah, well, so there you have it.
So... It's a fuck ceremony. We were right.
Sweating archaeologist blushing.
Anyway, so they decide to take the flu network to Diagon Alley.
There's a great moment there. Yeah, the moment where the mum is like, well, there's only one place we're going to get all of this.
Diagon Alley. And just like with the mum smile that is like, yeah, this is a children's movie.
Yeah.
So they're on their way to Diagon Alley. We see Ron kind of demonstrate. This is how you do it. Diagon Alley. You throw the flu powder down. Harry tries, and one of my favorite moments in any of these movies, he says, diagonally, and goes cross-eyed for a second.
He goes full Argyle.
Please, you got it.
Something in the fireplace just sticks up his hole.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
One of the bats from the chimney found its way into a new cave.
It is a very funny way to mispronounce it, but it is also the only way that he could pronounce it that way and have the script still make sense. Because it took...
Yeah.
And tell me if this is like... This is some dumb guy shit.
What?
I, until maybe last year... Did not realize, and I think I've addressed this in the first season of No Strong Feelings. I didn't realize that Diagon Alley was a pun.
That is so crazy.
Yes.
Because it was
I thought that the thing was, because I was just reading it,
yeah.
He said something. He says he jumbles Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
And he ends up in another place. And I was like, oh, I guess he's in Dingalingi.
Yeah.
Like, this must be the name of the shop.
Yeah, so I, as an 11-year-old reading the books, noticed that
right. It
was Diagon Alley, and
right. And
that meant diagonally, and I thought it was clever.
Maybe my parents were too together for me to
really
get that one.
Focus and just
I was probably getting too much, presents and affection, so I probably couldn't spare the processing power from my brain to comprehend that.
I got presents. Still got the marks. Anyway,
Oh my god.
So he ends up in the only thing is like
oh, let's take a break.
Oh, why?
We have to do that now for the sponsor drop-ins.
Oh right, okay.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, we're back. That was very organic and cool.
So he says diagonally and, just kind of by chance, going diagonally put him in Nocturne Alley. And now, based on the knowledge you had of Diagon Alley, did you notice anything about Nocturne Alley, Tom?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, I did indeed.
It's creepy.
It belongs to Nocturne.
So, Nocturne Alley. So Harry did not land where he wanted to. He instead lands in the face shop where everything's a face unless it's a hand.
He is.
There are just faces in this shop.
He is going through this shop like he wants to die.
Yeah.
He's touching every single
everything.
Thing in the scariest
Tapping.
Place in the world. He walks up to a jar with four fucking heads in it and taps on the glass.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Like he watched Dudley do to the fucking snake and look how that turned
look
out.
Look how that happened. You're going to go in face. Jar, idiot.
Yeah, idiot.
Idiot. And
stupid idiot.
And then he comes up and touches the hand in such a weird way, like almost
he
like
wraps his hand around its fingers and then it grabs him and is like, yeah, dude.
Yeah, you fucking idiot. I know magic doesn't exist and I still wouldn't do that because that's obviously going to happen.
Yeah.
So he gets a fright.
He's able to get out of it. So the function of that hand is just to prank.
To grab,
because there's no alarm to it either. It's just a hand that's there, and if you touch it in a very specific way, it'll go like,
rah.
And then if you're any stronger than like a 9-year-old boy, which he is a 10-year-old boy, is, you can pry its hand loose.
Yeah. Well, maybe that was where Willy Wonka got his wall hands from, the ones that take your coat.
Where does he have wall hands?
At the start of the movie, he's like, oh, yeah, hang up your coats. And, it's a couple of people shriek because they, their hands just go and grab their coats.
Oh.
And then as Grandpa is, walking away, just before he starts, one grabs his hat and he, walks out of his hat.
Oh, that's nice.
It's cute.
Hmm. Beckons Grandpa back.
Yeah. Anyway, a bunch of kids get murdered. And
They don't get murdered. One gets put in the TV.
They all get killed. And there is one hand very low down on the wall that just has two fingers out, and they're kind of like they're pointing upwards and
hurrying the children past it. Willy Wonka's like, oh, that's for a fake. I catch it through a letterbox wanders by. Yeah. Lands in this creepy fucking place.
Touches a hand, gets a fright. Is it Borgen and Burks?
I wonder whether
it seems like it would be Borgen and Burks, wouldn't it? But we don't see the shopkeeper or anything. And then he leaves the place. He goes into the alley and there's a bunch of creepy creepers.
We essentially get the English equivalent of when someone goes to Hollywood and they go to that one, like the Sunset Strip or whatever, and they see the ill-fitting Spider-Man suit. Or, you know, like we get the Kid in Times Square montage.
Yeah.
But with like, you know, dark mages.
Yeah.
And this evoked a very specific memory from me, which was meeting someone in uni who described, who was like raised on the North Shore in Sydney, which is where I was also raised. It's like an affluent area of Sydney, like super fucking middle class.
Yeah.
She was talking about how she, in high school, one of her friends dared her to take the train into the city. Because they had to take the train home, and then if it went one station further, it would cross the bridge over into like Wynyard and Town Hall and Central.
Oh my god!
And so she was
fucking
like,
hell.
"We dare you to stay on the train for one stop longer." And she's like, "All right." And they all got off. They're like, "Oh, I can't believe she's doing it."
Oh my god!
And then she like went one stop further, and then took another stop. Like, and then she got off the train, and then you know took the train back.
Yeah.
And they were like, "What was it like?" And she was
clothing in tatters, soot all over her face, black eyes.
Looking like she just set off a stick of dynamite to catch the Roadrunner. No, she got up off and like all her friends, like, what was it like? And she was like, there were junkies and syringes everywhere.
Well, yes, the syringe, the lollipop of the junkie.
Yeah, just like painting it as fucking wasteland.
Oh, God.
So good.
Rich kids are so funny.
It's so dumb.
So stupid. And like,
so fucking stupid.
Weak.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I really don't understand, like, what are we to believe that the objective of the creepy creepers in the alley was, like, as they descend on Harry? Come with us, dear.
Maybe they wanted to scam him. You know, he's looking nice. He's got glasses on. They could get that off him.
Yeah.
They could, I don't know, what would magic people want to do? Cast a helpful spell.
Mm-hmm.
They
bring him into a room with just a giant lemon squeezer and just rub his tummy on it till they get the Harry out.
Yeah. Okay. Now come stand by this boy-sized grater. Can you jump up and down? Yeah, there's a lot of uses for a Harry over in Nocturne Alley.
Mm.
You know, I think that if they'd gotten him, the series probably would have turned out better. You know, he would have made some friends outside of school.
Yeah.
He'd have gotten a bit of an introduction.
Well, it's really good. It's like what they say when you're in the comedy community, you still need friends that aren't comedians to keep you like centered and balanced and like it's good for you.
So, I don't think I do have any friends who aren't comedians. I have a few, but I don't really. Yeah, no, we're very bad.
Well, I have some friends who quit.
I mean, that counts, I guess. We should make more friends quit.
Yeah, that's
just
a good idea.
Just a public good.
Oh, yeah, and we should be the only ones left.
Yes.
That's what I think.
I think my goal that
I'm
going to
call Will.
Yeah, hey, Will.
Stop.
You know that light at the end of the tunnel? It's telling you you've got about 5 minutes left on stage, and then you've got to get off. No, yeah, it's so fucking... My goal is still to end more podcasts than I start.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. How many do we have to end then?
I have to end at least, if we're counting like abortive attempts that I got one episode into and never even released.
Yeah.
I have to end four, I think.
I think I have to end five.
Oof.
Yeah, I know. But maybe have I ended any? Well, I ended one of my own, so.
That's neutral. Yeah, but you've got to end at least one of someone else's,
Okay. Okay, cool.
Just take them by the arm and be like, hey, What's your RSS feed? Okay. Delete it. You must
stop.
God, I had nothing for that riff. I was running on fumes. Even at the start of the sentence, I could tell.
So Hagrid finds Harry. He just yells, Harry, what are you doing here? And then we ended this chunk by seeing the sign for Nocturne Alley, spelt with a K.
Yes, the freaks all part around Hagrid. We are not going to think about what Hagrid was doing in Freaktown.
Yeah.
Probably getting some kind of drugs to keep him big.
He was looking for Harry juice. Didn't realize that the cellars were right there.
Harry, oh, what a coincidence. I've been trying to get the juice that you store in your supple little tummy.
It's good to see Hagrid again.
It's good to see Hagrid again. Shape. It's good to see that he is as daunting to these people. You know, I guess it's not that great because people are like racist against giants and half giants. But
oh, listen, I think at the point where a 9-foot man is yelling, ah,
yeah.
It's fine to be scared of that. I don't think it's racist to be scared of the fucking 9-foot tall man.
Yeah. I love Hagrid.
Good. I'm glad. Well, you love Hagrid.
I'm mad at J.K. Rowling for saying that him and Madame, what's her name? The Bourbon Queen?
French Big,
yeah. And she said that they couldn't make it because Hagrid couldn't give her what she wanted. Like, fuck off.
Oh, that sucks.
And also fuck off as well.
Yeah. What do you think was wrong? Was his hog too big?
Yeah, and hers was smothered by it.
Yeah, so right.
They would fight hogs and the squealing.
They would put their hogs up against each other and kind of try and arm wrestle each other down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, 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 yep.
Forcing one down to the pubis bone and then.
Oh, I was imagining pigs.
Oh, my bad.
I would love to see Hagrid riding around on a big, big pig.
Good for you.
A wild boar, maybe.
I can't help but echo that. I think that would be lovely.
Mm.
I think I would love to be riding a powerful hog. Alternatively. Okay. I think, a moose would be my ideal mount, I would say.
Yeah, but aren't they so nasty?
They're so big and they're so angry. But I think if you had a moose that obeyed you, for one, you would be so high up because they are like...
They're so much bigger than you think they are. Even when you like remember, yeah, I know they're big, and then you look at a picture and you're like, holy shit.
If a horse is a car, a moose is a monster truck.
Yeah.
Like it's so far off the ground. It doesn't operate by any of the same rules.
Yeah.
Moose so big.
Moose so big.
Oh.
Moose too big.
Do you want to just spend a little time Googling moose after this?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
I'd like to do that. Let's look at a bunch of different pictures.
Their antlers are so big as well. But then if you see a moose without antlers, you're like, whoa, it's still so big. And you don't have, you're losing like 3 extra feet of just horn.
What's wrong with that hoofy tapir?
Mum, the horse is bad. Just walking out. The horse has spun itself a chrysalis and emerges as a moose.
The horse got sick. And Canadian.
Oh, no. No. We left the horse in an IHOP overnight, and this is what happened. Is that it? Tim Hortons.
I don't know.
We don't have their fucking franchise.
Tim Hortons, and they've got like Swiss Chalet. Or Chalet Swiss. What is it? No, Swiss Chalet, because they call it Chalet Swiss in the Bare Naked Ladies songy, but I think in Canada it's actually Swiss Chalet.
Gotcha.
Yeah, huh. It's a place where there's like lots of sauces. They don't want you to have too much sauce, but they do have a lot of it there.
They don't want you to have too much sauce, but they have a wide selection.
They
of
have
sauces.
A lot of sauce. It's a very sauce-based restaurant, and apparently all the servers are like 50-year-old women who like yell at you sort of.
Yeah, that's definitely...
Like RSL vibes, but a restaurant sort of, I think.
That's how I know that the banh mi I'm getting is going to be real good. And I know this is like a fucking ice-cold take, but whenever you are yelled at, whenever the people working there are already furious at you for being in there and wanting their very good product, the sandwich is going to be... So good.
That's like it's literally like that's how you know when you're in a Chinese restaurant that the food is going to be amazing because they have the economy of like we can be as rude as we want. The food is really good, but we also need these people to get the fuck out so the next customers can get in.
Man, do you want to order some Chinese tonight?
Yeah, I do. I want to get Dumpling Master.
Yeah, let's do it.
And then we can
it.
Have the mince tomorrow.
Fuck yes. Yes. Sick. I'll make that Korean gochujang mince tonight and then we can save it up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we should. I have not had that discussion on the pod.
All right. So any highlights? What are your highlights of this this chunk?
I mean, more Vernon for me. Yeah. Tragically, I've just got to point to him and say he's getting me through it. If we had constant little cutbacks to Vernon, every time Harry gets a win, you know, every time Gryffindor gets the House Cup, you know, if we just cut to an owl dropping off to Vernon a letter and he'd be like, already at the owl, and opening the letter, finding out Harry got a W and going,
That
would improve the movie threefold for me. Yeah. Love those guys. So happy to see him.
I want to have a quick conversation about the Dursleys because I don't believe we get to see them again for the rest of this movie.
Okie dokie.
I want to know what you think the Dursleys' genuine feelings towards Dudley are.
I think they love him unreservedly and they think he is an absolute success.
And do you think that that love is like the kind of love that we feel for people, or do you think it's some kind of weird, nasty, rich person love?
Interesting. As the person who is an only child here, I think it could well be just only child besotted love.
Yeah, okay.
Where all your eggs are in one basket.
Yes.
And therefore,
and then the basket just goes to France and then and fucks around there, gets yelled at by an old man and comes back real skinny.
Well, actually, I came back normal weight. But yes, I think that they just have the sunk cost fallacy that is hidden to them.
Yeah.
But they adore Dudley with their entire being.
Yeah.
Because pulling he's the only hair. Thing they've got going for him. Yeah, I just tried to run my fingers through my hair in a relaxed fashion, but I came out with like a fistful of fucking.
Well, it's like you might think good? You might. Well, this is the thing, Tom. Don't think that that's you losing your hair, because what you called a relaxed fashion was you gripping about 50 strands of hair in a beak-like fashion in your hand and pulling upwards. And I saw, like, the tension in your hand shaking from how hard you were pulling it.
You know what? If they wanted to stay, they would have found a way.
Yeah. You got to let them go. Let's see if they come back.
Yeah. Hmm? Boy, I hope they don't.
Yeah. Yeah, the energy wasn't good from them.
Yeah, the Dursleys are so good. I think that there is unreserved positivity on their part towards Dudley. How about you?
I think that is correct. I do think that they have feelings that they don't acknowledge about Dudley. I think because, you know, outwardly they're like, oh, you know, when the school talks to them, they're like, he's a bully, he's a brute. Then, you know, I think Vernon's words are like, I don't want some namby-pamby fop or whatever as a son. He says something to those effects. So I think, like, they are just like desperately fighting their own knowledge of what a person should be to love their son. But yes. I think they do. Like, I don't think it's conscious. I think it's that they defy logic just in their everyday.
That's interesting.
Brains.
I think that they also could be the kind of people who are like, no, I think I want a powerful son. I was a bully at school and so he should be a bully as
well.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely. But if he wasn't a, like, definitely they've convinced themselves that's what they like, but if he wasn't, they'd be like, well done, you know? Like, they would decide that what they wanted was the very smart son if he was very smart.
Yes, gotcha.
So the reason that they're like, yeah, I want a brute of a son is because he is one.
Right.
They're like,
our
family is perfect no matter what we do, so what we do is perfect.
You're trying to chicken and egg it, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I think Petunia fucks like a freight train and always on time. And I think Vernon's hog is forked. So
couldn't agree more. Do you have a highlight, Demi?
Yeah, I reckon I really love the delivery of the first two lines in this movie that you hear from the Weasley parents. Mm. The where have you been? The very, very high have, and it's like perfect crispness. And the I think it was Morning Weasleys. Morning Weasleys, I believe.
Yes.
Or yeah, I think it was Morning Weasleys is so delightful, and you can just like feel the positivity coming out of them. It's just like it's so nice. It's such a warm scene, I find. Mm. I think, yeah, the first meeting of the Weasleys is my favorite bit of this.
Cool. All right, great. Well, that brings me to my next question. At the end of this segment of the film, do you have any strong feelings about Harry Potter?
No strong feelings. Do you have any strong feelings about Harry Potter?
I do not. I have no strong feelings.
Really couldn't care less.
Truly.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting. I think that in the past, if you accrued this much knowledge about something, you would
have
at least
some feeling.
Yeah, have some vested interest in it.
Mm.
But I truly am just experiencing the dull thrill of spinning the old brain back up and accruing information, you know?
Yep.
This feels the same hole in me that I would get as a kid when I just would read video game walkthroughs for games I would never
play. And not play them, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just be like, oh, that's interesting. That sword's more powerful than that sword, huh? Mm.
Wow. Anyway,
well, that filled the time.
All right. I think that's it. We'll see you next week.
Yes.
Trans rights.
Bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.